Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Have something to say? Dial us 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
If you change your mind,
take a chance
on the first in line. Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. If you got no place to go, when you're feeling down.
Yeah! 403, McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Football Friday. And nothing screams football like ABBA. So let's take a chance. This is the Take a Chance Parlay. If you're new to this, it's just we pick three dogs. We parlay three dogs together. See if we can get lucky. Ged Fleeks, you're up first.
All right, game number one for me, I already put the Colts in the regular pick,
sure.
So they're in there. Game number two, I have one of your picks. I think the Dolphins may have quit on their coach, and if Drake May looked better in last week's game, I would have had the Patriots in the actual picks, but I'll take them here and to take a chance. And game three, this would be the Raiders for me if Brock Bowers wasn't hurt, but he is. Mm-hmm. So I'll go with the Jaguars at the Bengals. The Bengals defense can't stop anybody. Jaguars offense looked pretty good in week one. Now, granted, they were playing a terrible defense in the Panthers, but I don't know how much better that Bengals unit is defensively. So even though I expect Burrow and the Bengals offense to do more than they did last week, I think the Jaguars can keep this close. This could be your 34-31 fun red zone game of the week.
Yeah. It could be. I'll go with, obviously I have New England in the pick, so I'll take New England, and I'll go with your team. I'll go with the Colts, that Broncos team. The defense is obviously very good. It's coming across the country to go play in Indianapolis. But also, if you watch a lot of that game, if you look at the numbers, it says Cam Ward had a miserable day. I don't know if he did. I think Callahan made a bunch of interesting decisions, questionable decisions. I don't know what kind of coach he is, and they had drops all over the place. I actually thought Camwell looked pretty calm inside the pocket. I thought he played pretty well against that Broncos defense, and I just have a feeling the Colts have a chance to win that game at plus 2.5 coming across, and they played so terribly offensively. So I think the Colts have a chance. And then give me Seattle as plus 3 going into Pittsburgh. I think there's a chance Seattle ends up with the best defense in the NFC. McDonald's one hell of a defensive coach. They didn't play great week one, but going into that Pittsburgh team that's a little banged up defensively as well, I think there's a chance Sam Darnold has a good day. I think that Seattle defense can find ways after a week of watching them against the Jets, having a week of tape of Rodgers with that Steelers team. I just have a feeling the Seattle team's got something schemed up for them. So give me Seattle. So New England, Seattle, and the Colts for the Take a Chance Parlay. Oh, yeah, Marco. I forgot about Marco's Take a Chance Parlay. Marco.
And let's hope that he's dreaming of Take a Chance on Me, because we know how much he misses hearing the song not being
absolutely
here.
He's taking the Titans, the Chiefs, and the Falcons. So let me write that down. Titans, KC, ATL. All right. I like it. Listen, get the Chiefs at home. I mean, Take a Chance is not a bad pick. I just think it's a tough matchup for them. I do. Well, let's get to a little bit of football here. We'll still take your calls on the Yankees. And obviously a big win last night. Judge with the two home runs, tying Joe DiMaggio for fourth all-time on the Yankee home run list. The Yankee offense kind of exploded. They return the favor and blow out the Tigers and salvage the final game of the series. A huge game. Toronto had won earlier in the day, so they needed to keep up with the Blue Jays. Otherwise, you could have probably kissed the division goodbye. Big win. Cam Schlittler pitched really well, making a case to become a postseason starter. Even if it's only a three-game series, you could see Cam Schlittler as one of your top three starters in the postseason. And obviously, tonight in Fenway for a three-game set against the Red Sox, the biggest series of the year. The Mets, with an unbelievable, disappointing performance, offense, scores four runs in the first and then doesn't have another runner on base the rest of the game. 25 straight outs with a double play to end the first. 24 straight hitters get completely shut down by Lizardo and the Phillies. They rally back and take down the Mets 6-4 in a gutless, lifeless, dead performance from this offense. A couple of questionable decisions from the manager, and the Mets have now dropped 6 in a row and are a game and a half and 1 in the loss column against the Cincinnati Reds, who own the tiebreaker against them. That's how close the Mets are to not playing playoff baseball. Hard to imagine. So we'll take your calls on those as well as we take you to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. But let's get a little bit into the football. And we'll start with the New York Giants, who are just, you know, coming off that performance. And I know people want to make I saw people off of last night what Washington looked like against the Green Bay Packers. Yes, the Giants are not the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers are far better than them in every way. And yeah, their defense completely shut down that Washington team. Eckler gets hurt with an Achilles injury. You know, Jaden Daniels did not look overly good in this game. And the Packers completely dominated offensively as well. If not for a couple of bad early throws from Love, it would have been a blowout a hell of a lot earlier than it was. They completely dominated this Washington team that completely dominated the New York Giants. But I don't know if that impacts me in any way moving forward with this team. Looking at this week, number two for the New York Giants. One, the biggest question is whether or not Andrew Thomas is going to play. Andrew Thomas practiced yesterday. The plan is to have him practice today and then make a decision for Sunday. If he doesn't play, now this Cowboys team defensively is different than the Washington team. The front four is not nearly as dynamic. The pass rush without Micah Parsons, who obviously performed very well last night for the Green Bay Packers and is part of the reason why they are now a very trendy Super Bowl pick, should be a hell of a lot less demanding on an offensive line than the Washington Commanders were last week. It's also an offensive line, even without Andrew Thomas, at least it's another week of playing. Does that make me feel overly confident that they'll be that much better? But I do think they'll play better than they did against the Washington Commanders. The other thing is, obviously, Deron Bland out for the Cowboys. That helps a lot in the passing game. He's, you know, obviously a very good cornerback, and that should help. But ultimately, I mean, what else is there to say? The concern whenever they play the Dallas Cowboys, who Dak Prescott now has won 13 consecutive games against the New York Giants. He owns the New York Giants. He might struggle in the postseason. He might be a guy you find hard to trust down the stretch of the season, but the one thing he sure does is play excellent football against the New York Giants. And this Dallas team, you watched them last Thursday night a week ago against the Philadelphia Eagles. Yes, no Carter after he spit in Dak's face or whatever, but they were able to run the football a little bit. They were certainly able to throw it, and if it weren't for CeeDee Lamb dropping passes, which I would not expect them to do against the Giants, they might have beat Philadelphia. They played a hell of a lot better than I thought they would opening night. They get the extra time off. They're coming back home. They do not want to start their season 0-2, and they're welcoming a team that they're very comfortable against. This is a tough matchup for the New York Giants, specifically how they played. But for me, we all know what it comes down to, because I know this defense is going to have a tough time stopping the passing attack of the Dallas Cowboys. We know that going in, right? We know that going in. To me, this is strictly about whether or not Brian Daboll can find a way to scheme up some offense. This is strictly about whether or not bringing in this quarterback, bringing in Russell Wilson, was a mistake. Whether they should have went to Jackson Dart immediately. Like, we're gonna find out. Jackson Dart. There's talk of more packages. I have no idea what their plan is with Jackson Dart. If it were for me, we wouldn't see him for a long time. But this is a game, and I know we talk about, well, we got to see him develop the quarterback, and we got to see him do this, and he's tied to the quarterback, and, you know, the way the franchise handled Daniel Jones is probably weighing in the owner's mind, and, you know, they don't want to make a rash decision and give Jackson Dart a second offense in his second year. It hurt Daniel Jones. Like, that's fine and may all be true. And clearly Jackson Dart and how he plays whenever they decide to put him in down the stretch of the season, it's going to dictate what they do with this head coach. But for me, I need to see that this team is a functioning offensive team. I need to see that they can find a way to block up a Cowboys team that is not the same as Washington, doesn't have the pass rush, traded away the best pass rusher in the sport, arguably. You need to find a way to make this work. I need to see offense. And if they get in the red zone, I need to see actual, like, you know, I mean, the play calling inside the red zone was so atrocious against Washington. The execution inside the red zone was so atrocious against Washington. They've got to get in there. They got to score touchdowns. Now, without Bland, you're hoping that you can get a big game from Neighbors. If you can block it up, I've talked about this all offseason. I think Neighbors, Wandale Robinson, and Slayton, I like that wide receiver trio. I do. I think each of them brings different dynamics. Obviously, the stud that is Neighbors, Slayton knows all of the routes. He can get down the field. He had a couple of plays where he was open if Russ had time or was able to see him down the field. And I do think Wandale Robinson, who he showed it at some points, even in the game against Washington, can be shifty, can be that, you know, throw it just short of the sticks and still get a first down type wide receiver. Plus, I think Tracy, who rushed for like 800 yards last year, has an opportunity to be a good young back in this league. I like the weapons this offense has. I do. So I need to see them be able to function as an offense. And inside the red zone, I need more just competency. I need a game plan. I want to leave this game against the Dallas Cowboys. I want to leave this game feeling like, okay, the Giants had an offensive game plan, and for the most part, they were able to execute it. The win, the loss, I get it, right? The season's practically over if they lose the game. They're going to come back to play the Chiefs, who I think are going to be 0-2, desperate for a win against the lousy Giants. That's a tough game for the Giants, obviously, to open up their season at MetLife Stadium. Like, we knew how difficult the schedule is. We knew that they had to win one of these two games. So you're talking about a game that arguably the season, if you had any hopes of being competitive for a playoff spot, hangs in the balance. And yet I still find myself, off of how terrible they were against the Commanders, looking for competency. And that it sucks that that's where we are, but I can't help myself and just think, hey, I know they're going to have a tough time stopping Dak. Would I like to see this defensive pass rush be better? Yeah. We got to talk about how many snaps Abdul Carter is going to have. Obviously, Dexter Lawrence, congratulations to him, by the way, had a baby during the week. You're hoping to get him more into game shape as he hasn't played in a long time due to injury. Hopefully his snap count goes up. Burns, Thibodeau, you're hoping to get after Dak a little bit if you can. That would be a huge help. But you know this passing attack. Right now, the Giants' second corner isn't very good. The linebacking core isn't very good. The middle of the field was wide open against Washington. There's going to be issues stopping this passing attack. And I understand the difficulty that they're going to have defensively stopping this Cowboys team. But defensively, the Cowboys aren't that good. They're down their top cornerback. The Giants have to come away feeling like they played an NFL football game. We have to come away saying, wow, I recognize what the Giants were trying to do, and for the most part, they accomplished it. And inside the red zone, there has to be some sort of plan. And yeah, Neighbors talked about it in his resting bitch face and everything else he talked about, and how he's got to, you know, control his emotions as Brent Long Island's on hold, and we had that debate yesterday. He's got to do a better job of controlling his emotions and all of that, and that's fine. But this team, it's not, right? You need the emotion. And hopefully, off of the positive, like, that's what made week one so, you know, impossible to watch, was the optimism and the talk around the team and the feeling throughout the players in the team. It felt like they were ready to just at least join the rest of the NFL. And yet, you got the same slop that we've seen over the last 2 years. And so, unfortunately, that tempered my enthusiasm. I think it tempered all of our enthusiasm. And it changed my feeling into, hey, let's go out there and win some games and make and tell everybody who thought the schedule makers made it impossible for the Giants to be competitive, tell them to stuff it. This is a brand new season, a brand new team with a brand new quarterback and a brand new lease on life. And they're going to go out there and win some football games and surprise some people. And that's where I was a week ago today. And today I sit here and I say to myself, just score some touchdowns. Brian Daboll, make me understand why you were hired. Make me understand why, you know, you were a well-thought-of offensive coordinator. Make me understand why you brought in Russell Wilson. Make me understand how you can have a game plan that can actually result in success on the field. I mean, that's where we are. That's where we are. Somehow that pass rush is going to have to slow down Dak. And the Giants are going to have to figure out a way to score some points. And if they get in the red zone, not settle for field goals, and actually get into the end zone. I don't know how they're going to do it. And obviously the first key is whether or not Andrew Thomas is going to play to help them block it up. Again, practicing, he practiced yesterday. He's going to practice today. I would imagine he's got a chance to play, but they're probably going to be extra cautious about it. And then we'll see if this is the last game we get Russell Wilson. We'll see if at any point in this game, I mean, that's really the question. If the offense looks the way it did against Washington for the first half, are we really on the precipice? Are we really thinking about, is there a chance that the second half of this game we see Jackson Dart? Is that on the table? I hope we never find out. 888-808-1019. Let's take Brett in Long Island. Let's take your calls on the Giants. We'll get into the Jets as well as we'll take in you for another 40 minutes till 5 o'clock. Brett, what's going on?
Chris. Does Leagues really say he likes everything about the Colts except Daniel Jones?
That's I don't remember if he exactly put it that way, but sure, go ahead. Probably.
Yeah. And Chris, I'm outsmarting you. You took the Colts plus 2.5, and I'll tell everybody why now.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the Colts happen to win, and when I call in next week, you're going to say, "Oh, I took the Colts." So now I'm going to stop.
I really don't care,
do
Brett. Yeah. I really, you think in your mind there's some sort of battle between me and you? I don't view it that way. I really don't care.
Isn't there though?
No.
Isn't there, Chris? Everybody.
No, there's not really. No. I'm not battling with you. I don't need to be right over you, Brett. I honestly don't care. I just wish you'd call in and give me your opinion on things instead of focusing on mine. Do you have an opinion on anything?
I give you many opinions on Dable.
Do you have an opinion on anything?
I told you about Neighbors the other day.
How do you view the Giant game going? Do you have an opinion on anything?
But the first thing is, the under-over for you in my 11 online social media groups is 4.5.
I just can't do it. I can't do it. I can't make every call from Brent Long Island about me and Brent Long Island. I can't do it. There are times I'll tolerate it. I can't just make it strictly about us and the battle that wages on in his head. I can't do it. I picked the Colts because I honestly didn't think the Broncos played that well. And I got to pick an underdog. That's why I picked the Colts. They played well. They have a good running game with Jonathan Taylor. The quarterback, yes, Daniel Jones played well. They're at home for back-to-back weeks. Denver's coming back across the country. And they didn't play particularly well against the Tennessee Titans. That's why I'm picking them. Not so that I can somehow having a retort to you on Monday or Tuesday and your 11 social media groups. I don't care, Brett. So just call up and tell me what you think. And I'm not taking over-unders on me. No one cares. The audience doesn't care about the over-under on me, on any subject. Tell me what you think's going to happen in the Giant game. Good Lord. It's just It's amazing what he thinks goes on in his head. He thinks I'm sitting at home all day trying to come up with ways to defend myself against him. I don't care. I got other things. I got my son going out for Winnie the Pooh. I got a million things going through my head. I honestly do. I got a million things. Brett and his 11 social media groups and their opinion on me and how I'm going to win the war against Brett Long Island is not one of them. Here's the deal, and I hate to be smug. I get to hang up on you whenever I want. I've already won the war. I hate to be that guy, but that's the case. Man, oh, man. Yeah, what the hell? Let's just get it over with. Eddie and Rockland, what's going on?
Hey, buddy.
What's going on? What topic of mine, what topic of a thing I said do you want to get into?
Oh, Chris, I know. Listen, we debate on real things, just like, you know, I don't get involved in that nonsense that you guys do. You pick a side, I pick a side.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Sure.
But let's go. You're talking about, you know, the end of Russell Wilson.
Yes.
And you, three years ago, you wanted him as
that is
starter.
Absolutely. I wanted the Giants to trade for him. Yep. Right. They could have traded that pick that they drafted Evan Neal with. I think we'd all have been okay with it.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, you'd rather.
Evan
I'd rather.
Neal would have been,
Evan Neal's not playing. Evan Neal isn't dressing.
Well, yeah, because he's playing for the Giants. Okay. My question to you is,
yeah.
How many weeks of football do we have to go through, and how many quarterbacks do we realize that you just said it earlier?
Mm-hmm.
They have no game plan.
Yeah.
They have no attack plan. So when is that going to be on the guy who designed?
It's on him right now. I've already put it on him. We have to see better against the Cowboys.
Chris, I understand that. Week one of the year, it's on him right now. Week two, it's on him.
Yeah.
Where was it last year, mid-year?
Yeah, last year he was playing with a quarterback that nobody believed in, and this year he went out and got the guy he wanted. He's got the young quarterback there. They improved almost every aspect of the team. I expected better. Last year's different than this year. Last year they were falling apart. They had Drew Lock at quarterback. I had no faith in that team, and by week I don't know, eight, I was rooting for losses. I knew I still wanted him to draft and develop a young quarterback. So I want him to develop Jackson Dart. I want him to now show me that he can come up with a game plan with the quarterback. He went out and handpicked.
Who do you believe in more right now, Dable or Jackson Dart? Who would you lean towards more as have more faith in?
I have no idea. That's an impossible question. Jackson Dart hasn't played a snap in the NFL.
Oh, and my last thing for you, if somebody offered you from the fan, first class, first everything, first class trip to Turkey to get the hair implants like they've been offering Jerry Recco, would you take them up on that offer?
You're right, Brett. You're right, Eddie. We don't get into nonsense with. He literally started the call with, Brett's different. Me and you don't get into that kind of nonsense. No, he wants to know if I'd go to Turkey for hair plugs. Man, oh man. Brett and Eddie. Brett and Eddie were the popular steadies and the king and the queen of the prom. Riding around with the car top down and the radio on. I think that's
a picture when you grew your hair out a couple months ago.
Is he getting on me for the hair plugs thing? I mean, I have a small little bald spot back here, but for the most part, I just don't do my hair because, you know, it's a pain in the butt. I'm only here for a couple hours. And I gotta wash it. You know, I take the shower kind of before I come in, and I don't feel like doing my hair most of the time. And when it's short like this, I don't really have to. But no, I don't. I just think he wanted me to say something about the morning show and Jerry, because that's where he gets his kicks. He gets his kicks on trying to stir up issues. So if I go, no, I wouldn't go to Turkey for hair plugs, then he'd call some other show and go, you know, Chris was knocking Jerry for going to Turkey. Chris said he wouldn't do that crap. I guess he's above Jerry. I guess he feels like he's a better person than Jerry Recco. He wouldn't do that crap that Jerry would put up with. Like that's what he's looking to do. And who needs it? 425, McMonagle here with you on the fan. Jerry, I think you've got a lovely head of hair. But if you want to improve it, by all means. And if it works out great, let me know. Maybe I'll head to Turkey. I don't care.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your friends pretend they know sports. WFAN actually does. Get smarter, louder, and way more annoying at watch parties. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
All right, 4:33. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. First thing, let me just say, I don't know what happened. I don't know why it's not working. I was told that the YouTube stream has gone down. I went back and took a look at it, but I have no idea what I'm doing. So the stream is down. I apologize. Thank you guys for checking it out. I'm sure we'll be back up and running on Monday. But you can't see my bald spot the rest of the show. I'm sorry. But we'll work on it. Also, before we get into the Jets, I'm going to talk on the Jets just for a second here. I wanted to play something from last night's game. As obviously, this Micah Parsons trade to the Green Bay Packers is going to be a storyline all year. He was dominant last night. He played really well week one. They just didn't play him a lot. Last night made a major impact. He's clearly going to take this Green Bay Packers defense to another level. They played extremely well last night. The offense has been dynamic so far. Love missed a couple throws early and then was kind of all over it, and they ran all over Washington. But after the game, Thursday Night Football has Micah Parsons sitting there in the postgame, sitting on the field. And all of a sudden, the fans started chanting something that is probably going to annoy people down in Dallas. So let's listen to the postgame on the field segment of the postgame after Thursday Night Football, where the Green Bay Packers beat up on the Washington Commanders. And Micah Parsons is sitting there in the postgame.
Lay out for a second because this crowd has something to say. I know you guys know what they're saying. They're saying, thank you, Jerry.
Yeah, they're saying, thank you, Jerry. Couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of guys, those Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one. Now, look, I get it. He's got a back injury. We'll see. He played well the first 2 weeks. This is going to be a storyline all year. And, you know, the Cowboys played well against Philadelphia, and I'm sure they're going to beat up on the Giants and feel good about themselves. But, I mean, he makes the Green Bay Packers different. And I understand last year was such a storyline of Saquon Barkley going to the Philadelphia Eagles and becoming everything we thought he could be and taking that team to the Super Bowl. And, you know, you couldn't mention Saquon Barkley without mentioning the Giants. It was nonstop. It was in your face. It was every day. And this is going to be the same. The only difference is, in a way, the Giants allowed him to go to Philadelphia, but he was a free agent. The Cowboys sent Micah Parsons to Green Bay. They sent him there to the opponent who I was watching the documentary. I've watched the documentary. It's really good, the Cowboys documentary on Netflix. And, you know, Jerry's talking about that game a couple years ago against the losing to the Green Bay Packers at home and calling it the most devastating loss in his history as owner of the team. And he sends Micah Parsons there, and he has early on, even with minimal snap count, transformed. He was all over the place. He was in the backfield all night last night. And that's with a bad back. So we'll see, but this is going to be a storyline all year that the Cowboys are going to have to suffer and Jerry Jones is going to suffer. You can't say Micah Parsons without saying Cowboys. You can't say Saquon Barkley without saying Giants. Maybe this year you can. Unless he's doing the Manning cast, of course. Then you still got to hear it. But that's something. Thank you, Jerry, is going to be a sentiment that they're going to be screaming in Green Bay all season long as they look like an absolute force in the NFC and are right there with the Eagles as the team to beat right now. 888-808-1019. Quickly, let's get to the Jets. Obviously, we did it. We talked a lot about it in the picks, and we talked about it all week. But to me, you look at this Buffalo team, and yeah, he's incredible, Josh Allen, and that offense and what they did and the comeback against Baltimore was impressive. But they were also, like, Baltimore ran all over him. And I understand that Derrick Henry is something special, but the Jets ran the football last week. I think that's where it starts. This offensive line, even without Vera Tucker, played extremely well, was able to run the football against a team in Pittsburgh that probably, even with some injuries, and I'm not saying Pittsburgh's this great defense, but it has a better run defense than the Buffalo Bills do. And so that's really the game plan. Again, establish the run, have Breece Hall look the way he did in week number one, have Allen look the way he did. You know, when you get into the goal line, you have kind of that duo of, I don't know, thunder and lightning is so corny and overdone, but you get it. The speed of Hall and then the brute force of Allen, plus obviously what Justin Fields brings to the running game. That offensive line played extremely well last week. If they can run the football and keep Josh Allen off the field, I mean, that's the recipe for success. Plus, the passing attack, they're banged up a little bit defensively as well in the defensive backfield. You might be able, offensively, you should be a problem for this Buffalo team. Now, defensively, we know how good Josh Allen is. You know how good their running attack can be, what they were able to do against the Baltimore Ravens team, what they've done, you know, over the last couple years. Josh Allen is, you know, the MVP of the league and arguably the best quarterback in the NFL right now. But I honestly think offensively, they can present a lot of problems for the Buffalo Bills, who they play well against. And Josh Allen's had some of the worst games of his career against the Jets. I think the Jets have a really good chance to keep this game close. Win the game, difficult. Keep the game close. If they can keep the running game going, have long sustained drives and keep Josh Allen off the field and make a couple of big plays, maybe get a turnover, I think they should be right in this game. I think this is a very competitive game. I think this game is close in the fourth quarter. I think the Jets have a really good opportunity against this Bills team to kind of take that next step, make another statement in this new era, this new, you know, genre of Jet football. So if that offense can perform the way it did against the Pittsburgh Steelers and they can run the football, I think they have a chance to really give the Bills a run for their money, and I like them at +6.5. I do. I like the Jets at +6. They're one of my favorite bets of the week. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Charles and Rumson. What's up, Charles?
Hey, Chris. What's going on, man? How
are
you?
What's up, buddy? Good. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Good, good. Listen, I remember going to the very first game, Dallas Stadium, Giants first. The Cowboys, Eli Manning wins, right?
Mm-hmm. The first Eli game in Manning. the new building in Dallas.
So I was there with eight of my guys. I remember going on the plane from LaGuardia, and it was full of Giant fans. There's going to be a lot of Giant fans there this weekend. Also, I remember after this game, I know Eli like signed his name on the visitor locker room. It got painted over.
Mm-hmm.
I remember after this game, me, and I went with like three Dallas fans from Jersey, because there's a lot of guys from Jersey
right, that
are Dallas fans in New York City, and I was so happy we won that game. I was like, how about them Giants? And next thing you know, I get tackled, and my Dallas fans from Jersey end up like tackling the guy that like tackled me. It's such like a game. Like,
yeah, thanks. It is. It's such a game. True words are never spoken. It is such a game. That's a long time ago. I appreciate the story. I do. I appreciate the story. But I'm just saying, like, what it has nothing to do with what's going to happen Sunday. Because that might be the last time they won. They won in that building. Dak Prescott's won 13 consecutive games. I don't know how many Giants are traveling. That was with Eli Manning. That was the first time in that building. That was a different world. Right now, the Giants haven't been good in forever. The Giants get demolished by the Cowboys. I don't know how many Giants, after last week's performance, I don't know how many Giant fans, after the last 13 times Dak Prescott has lit them up, after last week's performance against Washington, I don't know how many Giant fans are laying down their money traveling out to Dallas to watch this bloodbath. I don't know. Maybe they will be. And if there are, hopefully they don't get tackled. Because, as you said, it's a game. Dave in Kenilworth. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's going on, Chris? First time, long time.
What's going on?
I listened to you. Yeah. Honestly, this weekend, I see us getting crushed by the Cowboys, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
The way Dak basically almost carved up the Eagles' defense.
Yeah.
It's amazing how I don't see us getting carved up even worse. Because I look at it like this. The offensive line is still the same issue as it always been. My biggest issue is more with Bowen, because he's sitting there still running a zone scheme where we got there's some great pass rushers. I'm like, play more man. And there's another thing I don't know if you noticed from last week's game. The first two downs, slots in. Third down, they put in Banks. And it kept on going. And I'm saying,
well, they were actually worse on second down. They were last week against Washington, they were historically bad on second down. The numbers were insane. They had something like 60% of their offense on second down. They had 10 different occasions and the Giants happened to be good on first down. They had 10 different occasions in that game against Washington where they had a second and 10 or longer, or a second and 12 or longer, something like that. 10 different occasions. And the average third down was third and three. Like it was crazy. They were averaging 9 yards on those plays. Second down was a disaster for the Giants last week. The middle of the field, same thing. Like, look, did they limit the points? Yes. Did they catch a break at the end of the first half with the intentional grounding and took 3 points off the board? Yeah. But they held them, and it's a scoring competition, as all sports are. So it's a scoring competition. They held them to 21 points. It wasn't a disastrous performance. But if you look at it, they made a bunch of big plays on second and long. You couldn't get them off the field. They consistently ran Jaden Daniels to the right. He was able to scramble and run to the right almost every time he was in trouble. They couldn't get off the field, and the pass rush didn't really impact the game all that much. So, yeah, they limited the points, but I didn't like much I saw from defense. And you're right. Like, there are a couple of drops from CeeDee Lamb away from beating the Eagles to open the season. They are. They just flat out are. And this Giant team, the pass rush is going to have to get home a hell of a lot more. Now that means stopping the run. That means setting up second and third and long like they did against Washington. Obviously, the other thing about Washington was they ran for freaking 200 yards. But you're going to have to try and shore up the run where Dallas early on in the game against Washington was able to run a little bit. You're going to have to stop the run. You have to get third and long, second and long, and you have to go get home and make Dak uncomfortable. This defense is going to be predicated on whether or not they get the pass rush home. That's who they are. At least that's who they should be. We'll find out. It's only week one, and they weren't that week one. But it's only week two, rather, and they didn't figure that out week one. But that's who they have to be. They have to be a relentless pass rush. They've already lost McFadden. You're right, the second cornerback is a real problem, whether it's Flott, Baker, whoever else. They really don't have an answer there. They've got some safeties in Holland. They got some safeties in Phillips and Newbin. But they don't really have a second corner. They don't really have a great linebacking core. And they were unable to stop the run. So, yeah, they limited points, but they didn't make me feel all that warm and fuzzy defensively. And we know what we saw.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, on this Football Friday, McMonagle here with you. I got you for another 7 minutes or so. I'm 7 minutes away from the weekend. God, I need it. Talking to those two clowns. All right, let me tell you a couple things here. One, the city's biggest indoor pickle event is coming back October 10th and 11th, and it will sell out, I promise you. You could sign up for the fun. I mean, that's cool. Or you could sign up for the cash prizes, even cooler. Go to 1010wins.com/pickleball for all the info. The pickleball tournament is presented by Nissan. At Nissan, we make cars that thrill. Experience that thrill for yourself today. Shop NissanUSA.com. And let me also remind all of you, September is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Men, please go get screened. It's a simple blood test, and when detected early, the survival rate of nearly all cases increases to 99%. The Yankees and Montefiore and fans for the cure will have a free screening at Yankee Stadium before and during the game on September 25th. Everyone who gets screened gets a voucher for two tickets to a game next year in 2026. So you go this September 25th, either before or during the game and get screened, and you will get a voucher for two Yankee tickets next season. More information, visit fansforthecure.org. All right, let's get to as many calls as we can here, rapid fire style. Matthew in Coral Place. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
First time, long time.
Oh, well, thank you for making the call.
Of course, of course. So I called in. I wanted to talk about the Yankees.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that tonight, on a night that they really needed to win after two really bad losses where they didn't really show any life at all, Aaron Judge comes out, shakes the president's hand, hits two home runs, and goes 3-for-4. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty – fires the boys up. And then even Jazz showed up. I think it was a big character win. Granted, I don't want to get too caught up in the – a lore of like big night, big win, whatever. They're still, the Blue Jays still won, and we're still in a race here.
Of course.
And as a lifelong Yankee fan, I'm like very, I want us to win the division, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care for the wild card, but I did want to say that I love the energy they showed today on a big night, especially.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt, Matt. Last night was a big game. There's just no two ways around. If they wanted to win, if they still had hopes of winning the division, you couldn't fall another game behind. Toronto had won earlier in the day. You needed that win. Plus, you didn't want to get swept in this series. I know it's the gauntlet of the 12 games so far. Through the 9, they are 5-4. They stubbed their toe here against the Tigers, blown out. The bullpen completely blew up the last two nights. They needed the game that they got last night. They needed Judge, and I was on him yesterday. Did a whole segment yesterday about how he's not doing enough. And he comes out tonight, hits two bombs. Immediately, that first inning bomb completely changed the dynamic of the game. The offense find ways to score. Caballero had a good game. You mentioned Jazz had a good game. They score 9 runs. Cam Schlittler's been really good. That was a good, solid win that you didn't want to head into Fenway off a sweep. That was a big win. 1 for the division, 2 for just how you feel heading into the most important series of the year against the Boston Red Sox. Because, yes, I want to win the division. Clearly, you want to win the division, and that's still up for grabs. Last night, a loss would have meant no more division race. We are still here. But it's sort of unlikely. You know most likely you're going to be a wild card here. You do not want to switch places with the Boston Red Sox. Because right now, it's almost a certainty that it's going to be the two of them as the 1-2 in the wild card. They're going to play each other. So I want that series at Yankee Stadium. That's why this series is big. Not to prove to the Red Sox that they can win games. That doesn't matter to me. It's Major League Baseball. The season starts anew. I just don't want to have to do it in Fenway. Take 2 out of 3 and do your best to secure, at the very worst, the first wild card and 3 games at Yankee Stadium. Let's go to John in Queens. What's up, John?
Chris, good morning. I just want to say one thing. I'm an old guy. That damn game last night the Mets played was one of the worst games I ever seen since.
Yeah, you got caught up in the rapid fire. I apologize. But yes, last night was one of the worst games. I mean, to score 4 runs and then go limp, 25 consecutive outs, 24 batters, because the first was ended on a double play. So 24 consecutive batters went down in a row to end that game. I mean, embarrassing. Embarrassing. And lifeless at bats. And this offense that was a juggernaut just 2 weeks ago, where they were killing it in August and having this incredible run and changing the narrative on the fact that they don't hit with runners in scoring position. They've gone right back into the tank. They had some feeble at-bats. And yesterday, I mean, just lifeless. Lifeless after that first inning. And I know that's easy when you don't score runs, but that's what it looked like. Steve in Bayside. What's up, Steve?
Well, Chris, I learned 2 things last night.
Okay.
I learned that the Yankee bullpen can actually hold a 9-1 lead.
Well, I wasn't sure for a little bit, but yeah.
And Susan reported on the pregame that Anthony Volpe got a cortisone shot in his shoulder for a torn labrum.
Yes.
And I hate to break it to you, but I think that this will be the Yankees' excuse next year for them going into the season with Anthony Volpe as their starting shortstop.
Yeah.
And say, he had a torn labrum.
Maybe. They did. Aaron Boone decided not to give him that umbrella in the postgame and said no, he didn't think it had much to do with it. Maybe. I don't think that's why they announced this. They announced this because they gave him a cortisone shot and he's going to miss a couple days, and they wanted to explain that because where's Anthony Volpe? Where's Anthony Volpe? That's all that would be said. But, yeah, I mean, look, his numbers are the same over the last 3 years. His batting, the velocity on his throws is better than it's been in his entire career, and his bat speed's as good as it's ever been. I'm not blaming the shoulder, and I'll be annoyed with the Yankees if they do. I'm just not. He's playing through it. Guys play through stuff. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Fleegs on the other side. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We got football. We got Yankees, Mets. Let's go. I'll catch you Monday. Bye-bye.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.